Heseret awoke in the darkness and chill of that dread time before the dawn, when all the world is at its darkest, and the human spirit at its lowest ebb. At first she was uncertain of what had interrupted her sleep, but then she became aware of the faint sound of many voices, still far off but growing stronger. She sat up, letting the fur blankets drop to her waist, and tried to make sense of the distant hubbub. She was able to make out the words now, defeated, and slain, and flee at once. She screamed for her maids, and two stumbled into her half-awakened, naked, carrying small oil lamps. "What's going on?" Heseret demanded, and the eyes of the women were wide and dark with incomprehension.
"Oh, we know not, mistress. We were asleep."
"You stupid girls, go and find out at once!" Heseret ordered angrily. "And make certain the prisoners are still in their cages, that they've not escaped." They fled. Heseret leapt from her bed. She lit all the lamps, then bound up her hair, put on a chiton, and threw a shawl over her shoulders. All the time the din outside her stockade was growing louder, and now she could hear shouting and carriages trundling past on the road, but still she made no sense of what was happening. The two maids came scampering back into the tent. The eldest was breathless and almost incoherent.
They say there has been a great battle at a place called Ismailia, Majesty.
Heseret felt a great surge of joy. Naja had triumphed. In her heart she was certain of it. What was the outcome of the battle?
We don't know, mistress. We did not ask.
Heseret seized the girl nearest her by the hair and shook her so violently that clumps came away in her hand.
Have you not a speck of brain in your thick skull?
She slapped her across her face and left her lying on the floor of the tent. She grabbed a lamp and hurried to the door. The guards were gone, and she felt the first pangs of fear. She ran to the cart and held up the lamp, peering into the pig cage. Part of her anxiety was allayed as she saw the two bedraggled figures were still pinioned and tied to the struts at the back of the cage. They looked up at her with pale, dirt-streaked faces. Heseret left them and ran to the gate of the stockade. In the starlight she made out a dark cavalcade streaming past. She saw the loom of carts and wagons being drawn by teams of oxen. Some were piled high with bales and boxes, others were crowded with women clutching their children. Hundreds of soldiers hurried past on foot, and Heseret saw that most had thrown away their weapons.
"Where are you going?"
she called after them.
"What is happening?"
No one answered her, or even seemed aware of her presence. Heseret ran into the road and seized the arm of one of the soldiers.
"I am Queen Heseret, wife of the Pharaoh of all Egypt."
She shook his arm.
"Hearken to me, knave."
The soldier gave a strange barking laugh and tried to shrug her off, but Heseret held on to his arm with desperate strength until he struck her a heavy blow and left her lying in the dust of the roadway. She dragged herself to her feet and picked out another soldier in the passing throng who wore the collar of a sergeant. She ran to him, with blood dribbling from her nose.
"What news of the battle? Tell me! Oh, please, tell me!"
she begged. He peered into her face, and there was just light enough for him to recognize her.
"The most dire news, Majesty!" His voice was gruff. "There's been a terrible battle, and the enemy's prevailed. Our army's been defeated, and all the chariots destroyed. The enemy comes on us pace, and will be upon us soon. You must flee at once."
"What a pharaoh! What's happened to my husband?"
"They say that the battle is lost and that Pharaoh is slain."
Heseret stared at him, unable to move or speak.
"Will you come away, Your Majesty?" the sergeant asked. "Before it's too late, before the victors arrive and the plundering and the rapine begins, I'll protect you."
But Heseret shook her head.
"It cannot be true. Naja cannot be dead."
She turned away. She stood alone on the roadside as the sun came up, and the routed army still poured past her. This confused and disordered rabble bore no resemblance to the proud host that had assembled before the Blue Gate of Babylon only months before. There were a few officers among them, and Heseret called to one,
"Where is Pharaoh? What has happened?"
The officer did not recognize her with blood on her face and in her disheveled garments covered with dust. He shouted back,
"Naja Kefan was cut down in single combat by Nefertiti himself, and his corpse hacked into pieces and sent to be displayed publicly in all the nomes of Egypt. The enemy forces are coming on swiftly. Be likely to be here before noon."
Heseret let out a keening wail. These details were too vivid for her to doubt longer. She gathered up a double handful of dust and poured it over her head. Still wailing, she clawed her face with her own fingernails until fresh blood started and dribbled down her cheeks onto her chiton. Her handmaidens and the captain of her own bodyguard came out of the stockade to fetch her in. But she was maddened with grief and screamed incoherent obscenities at them. She turned her face to the heavens and shouted blasphemy at the gods, blaming them for not protecting her husband, who was a far greater god than any other in the pantheon. Her sobs and screams grew louder, her behavior wilder and madder. She ripped her own breast with a tiny jeweled dagger she always carried, urinated down her legs and rolled in the mud she'd created. Then suddenly she sprang up and rushed into the stockade. She ran to the pig cage on the cart and screeched at Mary Cara through the bars, "Our husband is dead! Slain by our own monstrous brother!" "Praise be to Hathor and all the gods!" Mary Cara cried.
"You blaspheme!"
Heseret raved at her.
"Najaki Afan was a god, and you were his wife!"
She was goading herself into deeper madness.
"You should have been a dutiful wife, but you deserted him. You brought shame and humiliation upon him."
"Meron is my husband," Mary Cara told her. "I despise that creature whom you call husband. He murdered our father, and he richly deserves the punishment that Nefer has given him.
Meron is a common soldier, and Naja is and was a god."
Although Mary Cara's lips were swollen with thirst and sunburn, she forced herself to smile.
"Mary Cara is more a god than Naja ever was, and I love him. He will be here very soon, and you had best set Mintaken and me free before he arrives, or he and Nefer will make you pay dearly for it."
"Gently, sweet friend," Mintaken whispered. "She's mad. Look at her eyes. Do not provoke her. She's capable of any evil now." Heseret was far past reason or restraint.
"You love a common soldier," she demanded. "You dare compare him to my husband, the pharaoh of this very Egypt? Then you shall have your fill of soldiers."
She turned to the captain of her guards.
"Drag the sow from her filthy cage."
The captain hesitated. Mary Cara's warning haunted him. Nefer and his captains would be here soon. Heseret gained a semblance of control over her emotions and sanity.
"I order you, captain. Obey me or face the consequences."
Reluctantly, he gave the order to his men, and they cut the leather thongs that bound Mary Cara's wrists to the strut, then reached into the door and dragged her out by her feet. Mary Cara's hands and feet were blue and swollen where the ropes had restricted the blood flow, and she could barely support her weight. The exposed skin of her face and limbs had been burnt livid by the sun, and her hair hung down over her face in a tangle of knotted curls. Heseret looked about her quickly, and her attention fixed on a loose wheel that had been removed from one of the other wagons for repair. It was propped against the wall of the stockade.
"Bring that wheel here,"
she ordered, and two men rolled it to where she indicated.
"Tie the bitch to it. No, not that way. Spread-eagled, with her arms and legs wide to open her soldier lovers."
They obeyed her, and strapped Mary Cara's wrist and ankles to the rim of the wheel like a starfish. Heseret stood in front of her and spat in her face. Mary Cara laughed at her through cracked lips.
"You are mad, sister. Grief has addled your mind. I pity you, but nothing can bring Naja back to you. When his foul crimes are weighed in the scales of justice, the monster at the gates of paradise will devour his black heart, and he will pass into oblivion."
Heseret slashed her across both her cheeks with the point of her dagger, superficial wounds, shallow, that nevertheless bled copiously. The blood dripped down the front of Mary Cara's chiton. Heseret used the dagger to split the linen cloth. Then with both hands she ripped it open from neck to hem, Mary Cara was naked under it. Her body, untouched by the sun, was white and slender. Her breasts were small and tipped with clear pink. Her belly was flat and white, and the hair at the base was a silky nest. Heseret stood back and looked at her guards.
"Which of you will be the first?"
They gaped at the slender body on the wheel. Mentaka called from the cage,
"Be careful what you do. Nefertiti will be here very soon, and this is his sister."
Heseret rounded on her,
"Shut your poisonous mouth. You will be next. 10,000 men are out there, and you will pleasure most of them before this day is through."
She turned back to the men.
"Come, look at this sweet flesh. Will you not have a little taste of it? I can see your prongs growing stiff under your robes."
"This is madness," the captain whispered, but he could not tear his eyes from her pale body. "She's a princess of the royal house of Tamosa."
Heseret grabbed the long spear out of the hand of the nearest soldier and struck him across the back with the shaft.
"Come, corporal, have you no balls? Let's see you plunge deep into this honey-filled hole."
A man backed away, rubbing the welt across his back.
"You're mad! What punishment would Nefertiti heap upon my head?"
He turned suddenly and bolted from the stockade to join the flood of fleeing refugees in the roadway. His companions hesitated only a moment longer. Then one muttered,
"She is mad. I'm not waiting for Nefertiti to arrive and find his sister like this,"
and rushed to the gate with his companions hard after him. Heseret ran after them.
"Come back! I order you!"
But they mingled with the crowds and were gone. Heseret ran to a tall Nubian archer who was hurrying past, grabbed his arm and tried to lead him into the stockade.
"Come with me. I know you black animals. You have prongs big like that of a bull elephant, and you love to give them employment. I have something that'll please you."
The archer shoved her away violently.
"Leave me, whore! I have no time for your trade now."
She stared at him as he strode away up the long, congested road and yelled after him,
"Not me, beast! How dare you insult the Queen of Egypt?"
Weeping and raving, she ran back into the stockade. Mintaka called at her from her cage.
"It's over now, Heseret. Calm yourself. Free Mary Cara, and we will protect you."
She made her voice low and soothing, for she knew that Heseret had crossed the borders of sanity and lost herself in the wilderness of dementia.
"I am the Queen of Egypt, and my husband is an immortal god,"
Heseret screamed.
"Look at me, and fear my beauty and my majesty."
She was covered in blood and filth, and she brandished the spear wildly.
"Please, Heseret,"
Mary Cara added her entreaty.
"Nefer and Meren will be here very soon. They will care for you and protect you."
Heseret glared at her.
"I need no protection. Don't you understand what I'm telling you? I am a goddess, and you are a soldier's whore."
"Darling sister, you're deranged with grief. Set me free so that I can help you."
A cunning expression passed over Heseret's face.
"You think I cannot find a male prong for you? Well, you're wrong. I have one of my own."
She lifted the long spear and reversed the shaft so that the blunt end pointed at Mary Cara.
"Here is your soldier lover, come to claim you."
She advanced on Mary Cara menacingly.
"No, Heseret,"
Mintaka called urgently.
"Leave her be."
"You will be next, you treacherous bitch. I will deal with you after I've serviced this one."
"Heseret, no."
Mary Cara pleaded with her and writhed against her bonds, but Heseret seemed not to hear her as she placed the shaft of the spear between her spread thighs.
"Sister, you cannot do this, don't you remember?"
Mary Cara broke off and her eyes flew wide open with shock and pain.
"There!"
screamed Heseret. She thrust the end of the sharp deeply into her.
"There!"
she screamed.
"And there!"
Deeper with each thrust until it slid almost arm's length into her belly and came out smeared with Mary Cara's blood. Now both girls were screaming at her, "Stop! Oh, please stop!" But Heseret kept shoving the shaft into her sister.
"There! Does this satisfy your lust?"
Erikara was pouring blood, but Heseret lent all her weight on the weapon and thrust it full length into her. Erikara shrieked for the last time, then sagged against her bonds. Her chin dropped forward onto her naked chest. Heseret left the shaft buried in her slim, pale body and stepped back. She stared at what she'd done with a bemused expression.
"It was your fault. Don't blame me. It was my duty. You behaved like a whore. I treated you like a whore."
She began to weep again and wring her hands.
"It doesn't matter. Nothing matters anymore. Nadja is dead. Ah, dearly beloved husband. He's dead."
Dazed as a sleepwalker, she went into her tent and into the luxuriously appointed but deserted interior. She pulled off the blood and urine-soaked chiton and dropped in the centre of the floor. Then she picked up another robe at random from the pile in the corner and pulled sandals onto her feet.
"I'm going to find Nadja,"
she said with sudden resolve. Quickly she gathered a few items and stuffed them into a leather satchel. Then, with new determination, she headed for the door. As she stepped out into the early sunlight, Mintaka called to her from the cage.
"Please release me, Heseret. I must tend to your little sister. She's badly wounded. In all charity, let me go to her." "You don't understand."
Heseret shook her head wildly.
"I have to go to my husband, the Pharaoh of all Egypt. He needs me. He has sent for me."
She did not glance at Mintaka again, but hurried out of the stockade, shaking her head and murmuring incoherently to herself. She turned towards the west, in the opposite direction from the flood of terrified humanity, and started to run back towards Ismailia and Egypt. Mintaka heard her scream once more.
"Wait for me, Nadja, my one true love, I am coming. Wait for me."
And then her ravings faded with distance.